morning, everyone. My name's Paul. I'm one of the ministers here, and it's my pleasure to bring the word to you. It's hard not to have a heavy heart today, isn't it? Our minds are wandering. The minds and hearts of our friends and family who don't know Jesus are wandering, and where is your God? All those kinds of things. And here we are doing a series on prayer. If there's ever a time to pray, it's now, right? So I'm just going to pray before we look into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are real. We thank you that you're in control. And Lord, we thank you that you save us. Lord, we thank you that because of you, we are not at the mercy of unbridled human sin, but we can turn back to you. And so, Father, we pray that you will help us to look to you more and more, that this world will turn to look to you as it discovers that it can't do things for itself. And Lord, I pray this morning as we open your word together that you will reveal yourself to us, that we will see the beauty that prayer is, and Lord, that you'll help us to do it more. Amen. So this morning we're looking at another question. We've been looking at a series of questions in our series on prayer, which is actually an interesting way, I think, to look at prayer rather than just go through a particular prayer in the Bible, but to answer questions that we all have about prayer. And so today's question on prayer is this: when should I pray? So we've talked about, you know, who am I to pray to God, and will he hear me, will he answer my prayers? Last week we looked at, can you change God's mind? All those kinds of questions. And today is, when should I pray? Which is kind of a very practical, I had this idea that I would probably just wear my work pants and stuff to say, you know, we're getting down to business. This isn't my work gear, by the way, this is suit. But just say, we're getting down to business now, thinking about when should I pray? It's quite practical, and it's something that we need to think about. And so what I wanted to do to start with, to answer this question, is to do what we used to do in Sunday school and use a memory verse. And the memory verse is what Talita just read to us. And so what I want to do is I want you to learn this verse today to take home with you. Now, don't fret, okay? It won't be too hard. So here's the memory verse I want us to learn. Pray continually. It's not often you get a memory verse where the reference is longer than the verse itself. But that's what we have. Pray continually. So on three, I want you to say the memory verse, okay? This is Sunday school stuff, but that's okay. So, one, two, three, pray continually. Now, I just want to be sure that you're getting it. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make it hard for you. I know you're adults, but I'm just going to make it hard for you, and I'm going to remove one of the words. On three, can I get you to say the memory verse? One, two, three, pray continually. We should probably add the reference, shouldn't we? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So let's do it again on three. One, two, three. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Well done. Now, because you are grown-ups, and I think you're very capable, I'm going to remove all the words and to see if you can remember it. So if we, on three, let's see if you can remember it. One, two, three. Pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Well done. If you take the memory verse home today, you've done well. Pray continually. Now, what's interesting about it is it's a big picture memory verse, isn't it? If I'm to pray continually, does that mean I'm just supposed to be doing it all the time? What about preparing meals, getting dressed, taking a shower, going to church? If I'm praying continually, how can I fit everything else in? And this is one of those instructions that we get from the writers of the Bible, Paul in this particular case. We're saying pray continually because he's giving the Thessalonians, he's writing to a whole lot of instructions at the end of the letter that he's written. And just after those words, as was read to us, that he says, rejoice always, pray continually, all these things. Then he says, for this is Christ's, the will of Christ concerning you. So you need to understand that praying continually is the will of God for us. It's the will. So if anyone says to you, what's God's will for my life? Pray continually. It's right there because he says for. That's the reason we do it, because it's God's will for us. So it's big picture to pray continually. Ephesians 6:18, another verse that talks about this, says that we should pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. So this idea of praying all the time is the instructions that have been given to us because it's God's will for us to do that. And so we need to pray continually. But I think our prayer is not, when we think about when should I pray, when we talk about that, it's not restricted to a day or hour. But when we think about the time that we pray, it's while we wait. You see, I don't want us to take verses like this one out of context and just say, oh, pray continually, whatever that means. But I want us to just break it down a bit to say, well, the Bible actually, in its entirety, talks about how we should pray continually and what that kind of thing looks like. And we are praying while we wait. We're praying while we wait. And we don't need to just think about time as this particular time of the day or this particular time of the year when I pray. We need to pray all the time. Tim Keller said, if we impose our understanding of schedule and timing on Jesus, we will struggle to feel loved by him because he loves us all the time. And so what we're doing is we're praying continually, but we're praying while we wait for the return of Christ. See, in Luke 17 and 18, at the end of chapter 17 of Luke, Jesus is there talking to the Pharisees about what the coming kingdom of God looks like. And he's telling them that it's coming. And so you've got to be ready for when Jesus returns. And then at the beginning of chapter 18, which is part of the same discourse from Jesus, he says, Luke tells us there, that Jesus tells them a story so that they will pray and not give up while you're waiting for the return of Christ. So while we're waiting for Jesus, that's the time when we should pray. And in case you hadn't noticed, we're still waiting for Jesus. So we need to pray while that is happening. So if I'm praying while I'm waiting for the return of Jesus and not giving up, but praying continually, what does that look like in our lives? And the Bible speaks into this as well. It's not just big picture, but to pray continually, the Bible helps us to figure this out as well. And there's a couple of things I want you to see how this unfolds. And the first thing I want you to see is that when we think about when it's time to pray, we need to make time. We need to make time to pray or be deliberate with our time. This is one thing the Bible tells us about. Jesus himself set aside time to pray. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here but say none of us are actually greater than Jesus. So why don't we do the same? Jesus makes time. If you look at Mark 1:35, it says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus is making time. Now, please don't read this verse and say, oh, this is Jesus telling me that I have to pray in the morning. That's not what this verse is about. Okay, it's not that at all. It's saying that Jesus made time to pray. The interesting thing is that words like this that are in the gospel don't come from Jesus' lips. The writers in the gospel put these words in to say, we observed this about Jesus. This is something that he did, and we observed that he set time aside to pray. If you look here at Luke 5:16, it says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Oh, not bur, but, sorry about that. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So again, the gospel writer is telling us this is what Jesus did. He set time aside to do that. And as the story of Luke goes on, if you read that gospel, we see phrases like, on one of those days, Jesus went to the mountainside to pray. Or in Luke 19, once when Jesus was praying. And so the gospel writers are aware that Jesus makes time to pray. He's deliberate about his prayer. And that's what's important. So we need to do the same. We need to make time to pray. It doesn't have to be in the morning. It can be at night. For me, I'm not a morning person. Oh, until I had children, then it was kind of an all-night person. But I'm not really a morning person. I'm a night person. So that was kind of when it was best for me to pray. My wife prays in the morning because she's a morning person. So you figure that stuff out. Some of you are shift workers. We've got firemen and nurses and doctors and all sorts of shift workers amongst us. You've got to figure out when you pray. But the point is you be deliberate about prayer and make that time. And when you plan to pray, do it. And so we see that Jesus did the same thing. He set time aside. And we even read in Luke 9:18 that his disciples were there while he was praying. So they knew that he was doing these kinds of things. We need to make time to pray. So making time means that we're actually deliberate with our prayers. And I think when we do that, it's a reflection of our relationship with Jesus. It's important for us to make this time to spend with Jesus. You see, it's worth spending our time with him because we were worth his time. It's worth us making time for Jesus because we were worth his time. You can see this in the gospel. He gave himself up. In Romans 5:8, we're told, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He gave his time for us. And a time when things were hopeless, Christ died for us. If he thinks we're worth it, then surely he is. When we make time, deliberate time to pray, it means that we can be sure that we're keeping God in the loop. Yes, God knows what's going on. He knows everything. But he wants us, he wants to know that we know. And so we pray and keep him in the loop. See, friends, faithfulness in prayer is important. And it's a right response to God's faithfulness to us. So we need to be deliberate. Make time. That might mean praying when you don't feel like it. When the alarm goes off at 5:30 in the morning, you're trying to wake up and to pray. And maybe I don't always feel like it. Maybe with the events of Friday, you're so overcome by what's happened that you just don't feel like praying. Well, they're the times to pray. And we live in a world that says, just do what you feel when you feel like it. And when we live like that, we don't live faithful lives. So we're losing what this idea of faithfulness is. And so when we make time to pray, then do it. We need to be faithful with it. But I also think that not making time to pray is just not you missing out on prayer, but so are others. So are others. You see, during our times of prayer, we pray for others. And if we're deliberate about it, then we'll do that. So for me, it's a prayer app that I use, and I make sure that I have people I want to pray for, and they feed into my prayer app so that I can make sure I'm praying for them. And we need to do that, to pray for others. And if I'm not deliberate about prayer, I'm not doing that either. In the letter to the Thessalonians that Talina read for us, at the beginning of that letter, Paul says, whenever we pray for you, we pray for you continually. And we're always praying for you. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:18 to 3:8, Paul gives this thing about how you should be praying for other people and the importance of it. And in fact, when you're praying for other people, it shows that you actually love them when you're praying for other people. And so we need to show love for other people by the fact that we're actually praying for them. And this is what Paul wants them to understand. In his book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, Don Carson says this. He said, Paul's unaffected fervency in prayer is not whipped up emotionalism, but the overflow of his love for brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. That means that if we are to improve our praying, we must strengthen our loving. As we grow in discipline, self-sacrificing love, so we will grow in intercessory prayer. So if we're not making time to pray, we're not doing this. Superficially fervent prayers devoid of such love are finally phony, hollow, and shallow. That's a stake to the heart, isn't it? But making time to pray means it's not just about us, but it's about those we pray for others. Are we prepared to put time aside because we love our brothers and sisters to pray for them? We need to be deliberate with our time. See, when we don't find time to pray, we don't find time to pray for others. So when we're making time, we need to think about how this works out in terms of who we're praying with. And so the first thing is, when you make time, you need to make time to pray on your own. Jesus does this, and we saw that from the Mark 1:35 reference. Make time on your own. You decide when you can do it. And when you decide to do it, put it in your calendar and do it. We need to make time on our own. Because the prayer that we have with God on our own are the times when it's kind of most intimate. Now, in Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8, Jesus talks about people who pray on the street and those who should just pray in the closet. Because that's the time when it's most intimate with God, when we can be most vulnerable. It's hard to be vulnerable, isn't it? But with God, we can be completely vulnerable because He already knows everything about us. So we can be completely vulnerable with Him. So it's really important that you make time to pray on your own, to see that intimacy with God growing. But you make time to pray on your own, but I think you also need to make time to pray with your family. Because in the Bible, we see in Matthew 6 again, we saw that Jesus taught His disciples to pray. We need to teach our children to pray. You know how your children learn how to pray? You pray with them. You see all the other bad habits of ours that they pick up, right? Let's give them some good ones. And make time to pray with your children. But again, I don't want to put guilt trip on you about this. For us, as our children have got older, they're out more and there's more activities on, so we've had to figure out when we pray. And at the moment for us, it's not every night of the week. Monday night is our Bible reading and prayer night together. We don't compromise on it, that's what we do. And we keep that stride going. And I want to encourage you to make time to pray with your family. It's really important that you do it. In fact, one night we had some people from church around for a meeting that I was having, and they were having dinner with us on our Bible reading and prayer night. But we didn't break stride. We ate with them and we said, we're going to read the Bible and pray, and we want you to join us as we do that. So they were able to sit in with us and read the Bible and pray that night. It was wonderful to have some extra people to do that with. But we weren't going to break stride on the time we'd put aside to pray. And so as families, you need to do, I think it's great if you do the same. Make time to pray. Then your children will learn to pray. They will learn to trust God because you do. Now, I know that there are some among us whose spouses may not be a Christian, or you don't come from a Christian home, and that makes it more difficult, and I get that. And so I'm just going to encourage you to do the best you can and pray as much as you can. But also, we'll be praying for you that you will find those times to be able to spend with your family. See, when we're praying and reading the Bible with our kids, we are discipling them. We are teaching them to follow Jesus. And there's nothing more important than you can give them than that. So make the time. Having been a parent of three children, we made time to make sure they did their homework. We made time to make sure they arrived at soccer training or at their game. We made time to make sure they did their musical practice. We're glad they get better at that, by the way. But we made time to make sure they did their practice. And my guess is, there's a lot of families in this room, and you do the same. In fact, I know you do, because you're driving your kids places and you say, I just can't get to this because I'm dropping my kid over here. And you make time to make sure those things happen. Yet the most important thing we can give our children is the thing we're not making time for. If you are, praise God, keep going. If you're not, this isn't to make you feel guilty. This is to say, figure out a time and make it a priority for your family as you disciple your children. But also, when we think about making time to pray, we need to make time to pray with our church family. And this is really important for all of us, and particularly people in our midst who come from non-Christian homes or don't have a Christian spouse at home. This is why church among our church family is so important. We need to make time to do it. And in the services that we have on a Sunday, we do that. So Deborah prayed on our behalf this morning. That's great. We could pray together and say amen. And I want to encourage you to get engaged when people are praying. Listen to what's being said. So as Deborah even introduced it, you can say amen with her. But we also have prayer meetings, the second and fourth Saturday of every month at 8 o'clock in the nursing mother's room. Come and join us to pray together as God's family, because we do these things together. So we don't just make time on our own, we make time with our family and with our church family to pray. We do it deliberately. The second thing I want you to see is that we need to use our time. We need to pray on all occasions, as it said in Ephesians 6. In fact, it says this in Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. On all occasions. What that means is that what we do is we're including God in every part of our life. On all the occasions of your life, we're including God in it. And we need to make sure that we do that. Is there an occasion that you can't cover in prayer? Is there an occasion in your life when you can't cover it in prayer? If you can't think of one, then why don't we? You see, when we take things into our own hands, that's when things begin to unwind. We need to pray and we need to take action. We don't just pray and then rub our dust off our hands and sit back and see what's going to happen. But the problem then is we think, well, because we can pray and sit back, we blame God for not acting when things don't go our way. But on all occasions that we are involved in, we can and ought to pray. And these occasions may be planned and they may not be. But by praying at all times, in all occasions, we're saying, God, we want you involved and we are submitting ourselves to your will. On all occasions. This became really clear to me when I took some, I've spoken before about the fact I've visited Myanmar, but I've taken teams four times to Myanmar and it became really clear to me in that place that how reliant we were on prayer. Because it was a foreign place, in parts it was a very scary place, health was problem, poverty was rife. And so we would go there, and even before we left, we would be praying for health and safety and that people would be reached and we'd be able to work hard to help those who work there all the time. And we would even take our own needles. So if someone had to go to hospital, we would be sure that they have a clean needle to use. We're taking our own equipment for their hospital. And so we did all these kinds of things. But while we were there, we prayed over everything before we went anywhere, while we were in the truck going places. We pray all the time. And we came back to Australia. I know how things operate here. And our praying dies. We should be praying on all occasions, not just when we're out of our comfort zone. But we're so soft here in Australia that we don't rely on God. In our environment, we feel like we have the control. And so it's easy not to pray. But as our neighbours in New Zealand found out, that maybe it's not as much as control as we thought we had. So pray on all occasions. But this again applies to praying on your own. You see, whenever you're doing something, whatever occasion is, you can pray on your own, not just with other people. Because prayer transcends every single part of your life. Now see, if our work becomes the thing that transcends all parts of our life, it becomes our God. Your God might be your work, your education, whatever it is. But prayer, interestingly, speaks into all parts of our lives. It crosses borders, so to speak. You don't run your family like you run your job. At least I hope you don't. Or you don't referee at work like you referee work like at sport on the weekend. They're separate parts of your life. But prayer isn't. Prayer speaks into all occasions, and so we should pray. It's like if I was someone who worked in the city, right, there's a high chance I'd kind of wear a suit, and that's what I would do. But that would be foolish if I came to the weekend and I went off to my soccer game and I wore my suit. Right? My clothing doesn't transcend the two areas, but prayer does. I can pray for my workmates and my teammates. You see? Pray on all occasions on your own because it transcends everything. But pray on all occasions with your family as well. You know, when your child wakes up in the middle of the night having a nightmare, our first place to go should be prayer. Or when your child comes home from school and they're upset because someone's been bullying them. Now that's a great teaching moment and it's a beautiful moment to pray with them. Then you can pray with them that the bullying will stop. But you know what else you can teach them? When you pray on that occasion, you can also pray for the bully and say, please forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. What does that teach your children? That teaches them the kind of prayer that Jesus prays. That occasion is occasion to pray and to teach and to disciple. In year one, our youngest son was being bullied at school by this kid, and we would pray with him and help him to try and overcome it. And we were talking through that, and as we were praying for his friend, we found out that his friend's mother had died, his dad was struggling, and this kid's life was just falling apart, and so he was taken out on kids at school. But because we'd spent time praying, we were able to think more clearly about it on that occasion. Maybe we can give thanks on occasions for things that have happened, for a good day when you've spent time with family or whatever. Last night we had dinner with some friends, and before we left, we prayed together. We didn't make time for it, but that was the occasion to pray, and we were able to encourage each other in that. So I want to encourage you to pray. Pray together, pray with your families, and pray with your church family. You know, when you're discussing things after church, oh, my week's been really hard. Actually, most of us don't say that. Most of us say, oh, yeah, I'm good. Well, pray at that point and say, thanks that everything's good. But there are times when we'll have issues, right? And we swap those issues with each other. Pray there. Pray then. And over the last few weeks, I've actually seen this outside Malachi's, where I don't think you're praying for coffee. I think you're praying. And I see people huddled together. It does my heart so much good. Pray on that occasion, at that moment. Use the time to pray on all occasions, and let's do more of that so we can do it on our own, in our families, and as a church family. The third thing I want you to see here, though, is I think the Bible wants us to help us think about praying continually because it overcomes the pressures of the world. You see, there are all kinds of pressures on you and I. And time pressures is one of the big ones. We're all time poor. And so how do I fit prayer into this? By praying on all occasions, by being deliberate with my time. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." We get anxious because of the pressures that are on us from the world. In Mark 4, Jesus has told the parable of the sower. And in one part of the explanation, he says these words. He says, "The worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." This passage is from Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. But when the word is sown in the wrong place, it's not secure and it's taken from us and there's no fruit. If we fill our time with the worries of the world, the word is taken from us and the time for talking with Jesus or seeking his wisdom leaves us. Being too busy to pray is the result of this. If God's word is not important to us, nor will be the desire to speak to him. We need to seek his wisdom and not the wisdom of a world that's losing its identity amongst foolish and self-centered progress. Prayer puts us in the hands of the Father, where there is rest and restoration. Prayer interrupts the pressures of this world. With hearing God speak through his word and speaking to him in prayer on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. To overcome the pressures of this world that are being put on us, prayer can interrupt that. That's why we pray continually. It's all right for me to stand up here and say all these things to you. My prayer life over my Christian life, and I've been a Christian for a long time, has been hot and cold. And it's probably your experience as well. I don't think God wants to get down on me because I don't pray necessarily continually, because my prayer life is hot and cold. This is not a session to make you feel guilty. This is a time to encourage you to make time to pray on all occasions, to get our prayer life back on track. Because Jesus is the Lord of our life. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says there that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, to proclaim that Jesus is Lord means that they're the words of your heart. And in prayer, Jesus is Lord. By praying to him, we're acknowledging and depending on him because he's Lord. When we pray, we're saying, we're going to trust you with this because you're Lord of our life. We are offering up our desires to you and we're submitting our will to you. If we don't pray, then we're not doing this. We proclaim that Jesus is Lord in prayer, as well as to those who need to hear the good news. When it says to proclaim that Jesus is Lord in verse 9, it's explaining what our salvation is. It doesn't cause your salvation. You pray those words because you have been saved. See, friends, we need to include God because you can't exclude him. I mean that his plans are going to come to fruition. No one was expecting the Messiah to come the way that he did. But it was for our good and for God's glory. And so by praying, we're saying, we're in. We trust you. You are right and you are just. It's not just believing in you, but confessing with our mouth, not just to others, but to God himself that he is Lord. If we're not praying, then all we're doing is being legalistic. And it's our works that matter and not God's. And so we need to pray continually. We need to make time to be deliberate about our prayer. We need to use our time and pray on all occasions. And we need to use prayer continually because it breaks and interrupts the pressures that the world is putting on us. So pray continually. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can come to you. We can be vulnerable with you. We thank you that we can pray with each other and that's not just something that we do on our own. And we thank you, Lord, that when we're praying to you, that you interrupt the pressures that this world is putting on us so that we might see you. And Lord, help us to be people who pray because you are the Lord of our life. Help us to proclaim that, just not to those who don't know it, but Lord, to you, so that it might be the words of our hearts. Please, Lord, be moving in us to change us, helping us to be faithful in prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.